It's 9 p.m. in the East, 8 p.m. in the Central United States, 7 o'clock in the mountains. At KSAV, it's 6 p.m.
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
And right you are, talking Twilight Zone once again. The studio is so full tonight, I'm not going to try to name everybody. Here's your host, Bobby Neer. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Dan. Hello to all of our listeners. I am indeed Bobby Neer, and this is a continuing edition of Talking Twilight Zone. Unlike our last program, where one of us was missing today, like you said, we have a full complement of participants and then some. First of all, Ken is back from his cruise to Mexico, and we trust he had a wonderful time. On his way back, although it is well out of the way, Ken was kind enough to take a detour and bring back with him our first ever guest co-host, and that is one of our most valuable listeners and group members, Helen from England. At this moment, it is just after 2 in the morning in London, not a very good time to call in. So instead, Helen is here in the States and on vacation in Las Vegas, of all places, and she is live on the phone and will be a part of our entire program this evening. Helen, welcome to the United States of America. We're absolutely delighted to have you here with us. I have only two questions for you at the moment. We'll get more into your trip a little later on if we have time. How was your flight over? And some time ago on our message board, you indicated that you had a gambling budget of just $1. And since you've been there, I believe, for only about a day, I can only ask, do you still have that dollar? Or was there a slot machine at the end of the runway waiting to take it from you?
No, I no longer have that dollar. I lost that in a one-arm bandit this morning at the Sahara Hotel here. But there were one-arm bandits practically as soon the first thing that I saw when I got off the plane.
Well, of course.
Right at the gate at the airport, there was a row of one-arm bandits.
Well, I'm surprised there wasn't one on the plane. How was your flight?
Not bad. Not bad on the whole, thanks.
All righty. Well, let's get started by turning things over to Lynn for her summary of tonight's targeted episode, which, wouldn't you know it, happens to take place in Las Vegas. It's called The Fever. Lynn?
Okay, thanks, Bobby. Well, The Fever starts out with a couple named Flora and Franklin Gibbs entering a Las Vegas casino for an all-expenses-paid 3-day, 2-night vacation, which Flora won by entering a contest. It's obvious from the start that her husband, Franklin, is not pleased to be there for two simple reasons. He despises gambling, and he's a tightwad. He only goes along to please Flora. Upon entering, they are greeted by the manager and a photographer. Flora is thrilled that Franklin reminds her how he feels about gambling. And when she says, oh, but this is different, he says, it's neither different nor moral. Gambling is gambling. He tells her, however, that it's her vacation, it's what she wanted, but he thinks it's a miserable waste of time. Flora puts a nickel into a slot machine, and Franklin grabs her hand and begins to berate her about throwing money away. She asks him not to make a scene and promises not to play, but since she had already put the nickel in the machine, he lets her pull the handle, she loses, and he disgustedly says he's going back to the room. As he starts walking away, he is grabbed by a drunken man who tells him he's been playing a machine for an hour and a half and he's been losing. He forces a dollar coin into Franklin's hand. Franklin tries to get away from the guy, but he makes him put the coin into the machine. The drunk leaves. Franklin doesn't know what to do, so he glances over at Flora, who nods to him that he should pull the handle. He reluctantly does so and ends up winning about $15 or $20. Flora tells him he's so lucky, and Franklin says it wasn't even his dollar, but now she'll see the difference between a normal, mature man and the wild idiots running around there feeding their winnings back into the machines. He says they are taking their winnings home with them. They start back to their room. When the drunk comes back, puts a dollar in the same machine again, and it pays off once more. Only this time, as the coins fall out, Franklin hears his name being called out. He asks Flora if she called him, and she says no. He looks back suspiciously at the machine and at his coins. That night, he's lying in bed, still fully dressed. He suddenly hears the same eerie voice call his name over and over again. He looks at his winnings on the dresser and hallucinates that the stack of coins is getting bigger. He gets out of bed and picks up his winnings, which wakes up Flora. He gives her the excuse that he can't keep the money because it's tainted and highly immoral, so he's going to go down and feed it back into the machine. Flora thinks it's silly, but he goes away anyway. That's when the fever hits him. He feeds the money back, but then he can't stop. He writes numerous checks and loses more and more money, playing until 8 a.m. or more in the morning. Flora keeps trying to stop him, and he goes into a rage, screaming at her to leave him alone because she's bringing him miserable luck. He calls the slot machine inhuman because he wins a little and then it takes it all back. Flora and the manager are very concerned. He's completely out of control, striving for the jackpot. Finally, he inserts his last dollar and the handle jams. He begins screaming at the machine to give him back his dollar and becomes so enraged that he pushes the machine to the ground and is dragged back to his room, kicking and screaming. The manager puts an out-of-order sign on the machine. Back in his room, he tells Flora the machine deliberately broke down because it was ready to pay off, and he calls it an entity with a mind and will of its own. Suddenly, he hears the machine calling his name over and over again. He opens the door and hallucinates that the machine is right in front of him. The machine starts toward him, and he slams the door shut, but then he sees the machine coming into the room, telling Flora that it's chasing him. Naturally, Flora sees nothing and tells him there's nothing there. He still sees it and hears it coming at him. He fearfully keeps backing away from it toward the window. He then crashes right through the window and plummets to his death as Flora screams when she sees him lying dead on the ground below. A crowd gathers around a doctor and police officer while the manager says he's never seen anyone get hooked like Franklin did. A stretcher is on its way and the crowd leaves. As Franklin is lying there, the machine seemingly rolls up to his body and spits his dollar back out to him. He then sees the machine standing a few feet away from him. Wow, creepy. I like this episode for its imagination and uniqueness. I think Rod Serling wrote a very creative and interesting story here. It's a perfect example of how any addiction can have dire consequences, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or gambling. I'm sure there have been people who have gambled away their entire life savings, lost their homes, families, etc., and then committed suicide. Also, I thought the casting of Everett Sloan and Vivi Janis as Gibbs was great. I thought it was a very good episode and gave it a good rating in the poll. I have one short email here to read from Deb Arkin, a loyal listener and member of our discussion group, and Deb says, "Very good episode. This was very Zone-like in every way. The creepiness of the machine calling out Franklin's name could not have been more perfect for giving a person shivers. Very imaginative on Rod Serling's part. This is what the Zone is all about." Thanks, Deb. Your emails are always appreciated, and you pretty much echoed my thoughts on this one. Creepy and imaginative. Now, a big welcome to our guest host, Helen Weathers from England. Glad to have you, Helen. Let's hear your thoughts on the fever.
Thanks, Lynn. I thought it was quite good. At the time, I was wavering between giving it 2.5 or 3, and then I went for 3 in the end, mainly because I was looking forward so much to this vacation, and I really enjoyed the episode, and I liked the fact that Franklin had been an abstainer from gambling and suddenly got addicted, and that I quite liked the talking money. I thought the one-armed man, it looked a bit silly at the end, a bit like a robot on my first viewing, but then I watched it again before coming away, and I didn't think it looked so silly then. I think it's better now than I thought at first.
Helen, did this episode make you want to come to Las Vegas more or less?
More.
Well, you're very brave. I'm not sure. Is this your first time there, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, I've never been there at all. All right, let's hear from Kitty on this. Kitty?
Well, I'm not going to deny that the episode isn't imaginative. And certainly it has elements of a Twilight Zone episode, you know, with its, you know, twist type of ending and everything, but I just didn't enjoy it. I gave it a 1 rating because usually when I watch The Twilight Zone and I see a character, I want to at least feel something for the character when I'm watching it, and in this case, Franklin is just a big jerk from the very beginning, and I just don't feel any bit of sympathy for him. Flora wins this trip. You know, you would think that he'd be thrilled that he gets a free vacation, but no, he just has to complain the whole time. And, you know, my only advice to Flora would have been the next time you win a vacation, take somebody else instead of your husband. but this just didn't really do much for me. I mean, the ending, when I saw the machine start to chase him, I had a pretty good idea of what was ultimately going to happen. So when he fell out of the window, it wasn't that much of a shock to me. But it just, I don't know, there was just something missing. I kind of like to care about somebody in an episode when I'm watching it, and I just didn't find that I really cared about anybody in that episode. I just wanted the episode to get done because I thought it was annoying.
Okay, gosh, I can't wait to hear what Ken thinks about it. Ken?
I'm with Kitty on this one, and I'm sorry, guys. Not only was I groaning after watching this episode, but my dog was also growling at this episode. My dog did not even like it. So, you know what? There's nothing to really... What is there to like about the story? It's one-sided. Rod Serling is telling the message, don't put all your money in the slot machine because eventually it'll kill you. And so he produces an extreme story. I did not like the grumpy old husband. I agree with Kitty there. I like the wife. She was nice and gentle. I like all the people in the casino. Looks like they're having a good time. When I go to the casino, I have a good time. Obviously, I'm not going to give my house to the casino. Now, if some people do that, that's their problem. But millions of people go to the casino. They have a good time. They win some. They lose some. They're there for entertainment and enjoyment. When I watch this episode, I get the feeling that Rod Serling just wants everybody to hate Las Vegas or to hate gambling in general. And, He's giving the one-sided message all the way through. Obviously, it's a Twilight Zone. Have some creepiness. Have some. Have a death scene in the end. I hated the end scene. The people come up. They look at the guy in the street. He's dead. They stare at him, and then they all walk away. The final scene shows them just sitting there dead. Go into the Twilight Zone stars. After I watched it, I said, "Good grief." So go ahead, Bob.
Well, I wonder why it is you think that there was a message in here. I never looked at it that way. When I'm watching it, is Rod Serling giving a message about not gambling? He may have been a gambler himself. Did he write this episode? Does anybody know? I'm not sure.
Yes, he did.
He did. Well, I don't see any message there, and I agree with Lynn that at the very least, it's imaginative. I mean, there have been countless stories, articles, newspaper stories, books and everything about gambling and how addictive it is and how you shouldn't get into it or you should know what you're doing. But none of them ever had a situation where a person went so out of control that they thought a slot machine was coming towards them, because usually it's all about losing your money. You'll simply lose your shirt if you don't watch what you're doing. But I think from that standpoint alone, It's a very imaginative story. I will agree with some of the comments that were made, such as the slot machine looks like it's from ancient times, but they had trouble getting one of them. All right, we'll continue this discussion of the fever. We're just about right up against our break, and then we'll be right back. Dan?
Be back with more Talking Twilight Zone right after this.
Hi everyone, Susan McCrae, host of Getting to Know You. Though my show won't be on this coming Tuesday, my dearest friend will be. Vinnie Falcone joins Dan White on a 1-hour special of Perfectly Frank. Vinnie's going to share his top 10 favorite Frank Sinatra songs, along with some memories of performing the songs with Mr. Sinatra. Imagine Frank Sinatra's own musical director and pianist sharing his top 10. So tune in starting at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on KSAV.org, your Share a Vision radio network.
And that's coming up right after this program, just about 15 minutes. More Talking Twilight Zone. Here's Bob.
Thank you, Dan. Talking Twilight Zone is taking an extra several weeks off so that I can recharge and restart my batteries at my age. So our next program will air 4 weeks from tonight on November 3rd. At that time, we will review and discuss two more episodes from the series, number 13. The Four of Us Are Dying, about a man with the unique ability to change his face at will just by thinking about it, and episode number 14, Third from the Sun, about two families who get wind of some information that a war is about to break out that is likely to end civilization as they know it, and their decision to fly off into outer space in order to survive it. The only question is, to fly where? 4 weeks from tonight, November 3rd, on Talking Twilight Zone. Let's get back to our current discussion of the fever. Now that Helen is in Las Vegas, we've all been in a casino at least once. I don't know anybody. I always felt that if I knew somebody who worked in a casino, maybe they could tell me something on the outside that would help me in there. Is there any one of us who knows anybody, ever knew anybody who actually worked in a casino?
I do. I have a late uncle who was a pit boss.
Really?
In Las Vegas. He worked as a pit boss for years at the, I forget if it was the Hilton or the Sands, and he became very close friends with Frank Sinatra,
wow,
Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr., Jack Lord, and he told me stories that would send shivers up your spine. He even told me a story one night about how some guy at a blackjack table got so enraged about losing his money, he pulled out a knife and threatened the dealer's life. And the security had to take him out. He worked there for years, and he had some unbelievable stories about it.
But he never had any advice on how to win.
No, actually he didn't. He just told me the various stories about how people would just go nuts and people lost their money and people wanted to, people would get, like Franklin, would get enraged and start beating on a slot machine. I mean, it was incredible.
Helen,
I mean, security used to have to come all the time to take people out.
Helen, you told me in an email to me some time ago that you were coming to Las Vegas basically to see the sights. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
That's a good idea. Are you going to see? Are you planning to see any shows while you're there?
No, not any shows.
Okay.
I'm going to the Grand Canyon tomorrow and the Hoover Dam on Friday.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's a safer place to go to. You might actually leave us some money.
Yeah.
It's always possible. Now, I want to go back to Ken because some time ago he also said, he gave some advice about going in there and coming out at least even. Ken, didn't you say that you've never come out of there without at least being even?
Well, I've had a lot of experiences. You just have to be a reasonable person. I wanted to ask Helen right now,
yeah.
Are the people in Las Vegas having a bad time? Did you say you walked around the casino or the streets?
Yes, I walked around.
Are they having a bad time?
They didn't look particularly happy. I've walked around the Venetian and Circus today, and
yeah,
the casino in my own hotel here, Sahara.
One thing about the episode I wanted to point out, Bob,
yeah,
is Rod Serling made it a really huge mistake. He spent, and I counted it, because when I watched the episode, I had my counter on, you know, the
yeah,
counter for the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
It was 7 minutes of airtime of just showing this grumpy husband pulling the lever and losing his money and then writing the check. losing his money. It was 7 minutes out of 22 minutes.
But doesn't that drive the point home that he's out of control?
Oh, wait. Oh, come on. Way too much time. You can do it in 2 minutes.
Kitty, what do you think about that?
Stretch your point in 2 minutes.
Kitty?
I don't think that it was overdone in that respect. I mean, I just got tired of watching him because, like I said, I had no great sympathy for him. I mean, one of the things that struck me about it was how at the beginning when he decides he's going to get rid of the money because he figures he got the money in a bad way by the machine with gambling. And it's like, well, if he felt that strongly about it, why go downstairs and put it back into the machine? Why not go take it to your local, you know, I'm sure there was a homeless shelter somewhere around or some vagrant outside begging. I mean, he could have very easily unloaded that money somewhere else, you know, give it to a good cause as opposed to going in and continually putting it back in the machine if he felt that strongly against gambling. You know, there's always another option. And
he was making up an excuse.
Yeah, and, you know, and for him to just all of a sudden get the fever, it just seemed just a little too sudden that somebody that was that anti-gambling would just all of a sudden in, you know, in just a few minutes of winning one thing would just all of a sudden go nuts. To me, it just didn't seem right.
Well, like I said, I've never been to Las Vegas, but I was in Atlantic City the very week that they began casino gambling. I believe it was in 78. And the only casino at that time was at Resorts. And that was the first time I'd ever been in there. Look, I was impressed with the lights and the excitement and the noise and everything that was going on. There's no question that keep you awake. But I got, it's just me, I guess. I got nothing out of gambling at all. I don't know how to play poker, so I didn't do any of that. But I did play the slot machines, and it just bored me. I just thought to myself, it's not very interesting because there's no skill involved. It would be different if you really, if it took skill and you could become good at it, there would be a reason, just like there is in any sports. But here, it's just nothing. It's just you standing there or sitting there and putting money in a machine. Well, I could pay somebody to go do that for me. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And I looked around me, and I saw little old ladies sitting there, and they have this blank expression on their faces. I tell you what, the one thing I like about Franklin is at least he gets angry. The people I saw in the casino didn't have anger. They didn't have anything. They looked like they had been lost there for years, and they were just sitting there, one coin after another, after another, after another, after another, and there's just nothing to it. So I never came close to becoming addicted because it simply was putting me to sleep. But, you know, I have to say that it's in a way, it's kind of fun just to be in there to see what it looks like and things like that. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. But, you know, I want to get into some other part about the episode that while we still have time, and that is that Kitty had mentioned in her review that it seemed ridiculous that Franklin's wife would even drag him along. He's obviously not up to that, and he's going to give you a hard time. And my comment was that maybe she was dominated by him, and I believe she won a contest or something. Is that right?
Yes.
And that she said to him, well, Franklin, I won this contest. And he said, yeah, well, you're not going to Vegas. I want no part of that. And she simply said, I'm going to go without you or not. And a husband like that might say, you're not going to get it. If you insist on going, I'm going to go with you. Why is he there? To make her miserable. That's exactly what he does. So I'm not sure that she really had the chance. What do you think, Lynn?
Well, you know, to be honest, I don't think necessarily that Franklin was a bad person. I mean, he may have hated gambling, he may have been a tightwad, but you don't know that he was actually a miserable person overall. I mean, my own father despised gambling. I mean, he was the nicest guy in the world. Everybody who knew him loved him. He had friends and the family loved him to death. He was the most pleasant guy in the world. But if you brought up the subject of gambling in any way, he would be cantankerous about it. And he was miserable about gambling. But anything else, it was fine. So, you know, Franklin may have been a perfectly pleasant person in any other way, but when it came to spending money needlessly or gambling, you know, he probably was a jerk. You know, you can't say that he was an awful person just because he hated gambling.
I want to know from Ken, Ken, when you do gamble, what is your preference? Is it the slots or something else?
Oh, the blackjack. I win on that. You have the better odds.
Really?
I do a little bit of the slot machines, but mainly blackjack. Yeah, they say.
Me too.
Yeah, they say it's 50-50, and most of the time it is. It just depends on how long you want to stay at the table. But one question I wanted to bring up about the episode was, would you have preferred a younger couple to play the role, or were you happy watching a grumpy old man that nobody likes and nobody feels sorry for, really?
It doesn't matter to me what their age is. I never even thought about it.
To me, a younger couple, I would have given some bonus points for the episode. But for an old man that right away in the first 5 minutes, you hate him. That's what happened to me. I'm watching. I don't like the guy. So as a result, what happens? When I watch the rest of the episode, I don't like what's going on. And then the end is terrible. And so, poor rating for me.
Well, tell me something. What is sadder or more tragic? A young couple that may ruin their future. Say they just got married and they're in Vegas. And he's throwing their future away, throwing their money away. And they're already arguing. Is that more tragic? Or is it more tragic to see an elderly couple throwing their Social Security money away?
Oh, I think definitely the elderly.
I agree.
Because the younger couple, I mean, they're in their working years, so they can get jobs and they can earn the money back.
Okay. Well, we're down to a few minutes here, and before we run out of time, I just want to ask Helen something. She had mentioned either on our board, or I think it was probably just to me, that she's not only going to Las Vegas, but I believe she's also going to be taking a tour of locations in California, I guess, for The Fugitive. And we certainly have some listeners here that I brought over from our Fugitive group. Is that the true, Helen?
Yes, that's right. On Monday, Rich and I are going to Los Angeles, mainly to see Richard Kimball's house and a few other future
locations. Is that a set-up tour? They actually have a tour like that.
Just
going on your own.
No, it's just us doing it. I've printed off all these locations from the Internet.
Wow. You know what? I can only say this, since Richard and Helen, amazingly enough, are taking this tour, that you get along better than the original Richard and Helen. I wouldn't want to see anything happen to you. So that's amazing. I never even thought about you for all these years, being able to see those locations. When you do, I certainly hope you will post on the board or send something to me about what you saw and what it was like.
I'll send you some pictures.
Because that's the kind of thing that I would like to do myself. I had no idea. Well, we're pretty much split down the middle on this episode, which I think always makes for a more interesting show. But I only want to ask Ken one last question. Ken, you did realize, didn't you, that Franklin was just imagining that slot machine? Because in your review, you acted like you thought it was really there.
Well, I had to keep my dog from eating the television.
Oh, you and that dog.
I got confused, and I actually thought the slot machine was real and pushing him out the door. So,
oh,
you know, the dog and I were just fighting the whole time.
Yeah, right. Well, what episode does your dog particularly like?
He likes Mirror Image.
Yes, you know why? That's because that's your favorite episode. Isn't that amazing? What a coincidence that is. Well, look, this is not one of my all-time favorite episodes. I wouldn't put it near the top. But I just thought, kind of, you know, I was so young when I saw it, I just thought that it was imaginative, because I figure you can throw your money away, but you don't necessarily have to throw your life away or have a machine push you out the window or actually fall out the window. All right, we're just about out of time, Helen. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great flight back.
Have a good time, Helen.
Thanks, Lynn.
Yeah, thanks, Helen.
Thanks very much. All right, Dan, we've had it.
Thanks, Bob. We'll see you again soon on Talking Twilight Zone.